Is there really a God composed of all love and true light? Welcome to The Truth Be Told, presented by Beloved of God Ministries, dedicated to revealing the true nature of God and the reliability of the Scriptures as the will of God to us and for us. Now, let's join our brother in Christ, Lawrence Penarello, for The Truth Be Told.
Welcome to our presentation of The Truth Be Told. It's my honor to place before you, for your consideration, sermons relating to and based on the foundation that God's true nature is love and light. We named our ministry Beloved of God Ministries. It's a wonderful name, for so we are. But the Beloved of God far exceeds our little corporation, and God's love for His children will continue long after Beloved of God Ministries is gone. The truth be told, incorporating as a church under the IRS designation as a 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization does not make us beloved or even spiritual. Actually, nonprofit corporations are really carnal. It's something in our culture that grants contributors the privilege to deduct their donations from their income tax and a few other benefits afforded these church-type organizations. Now, this is certainly right and proper, and I certainly appreciate it, but when it comes to spirituality, our spirituality is not in tax deductions or membership, but rather in how we are living the Scriptures, walking in the love of God. Being beloved of God is not exclusive to our ministry. This is not what our corporate name is to imply. We're not the only ones who are beloved of God, but rather it's a reminder as children of God whose God loves them that we should fellowship around the Word of God and present ourselves as ones who are beloved of God by loving one another. In the Gospel of John, and the word gospel means good news, in chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus is speaking to His followers. And it's the good news concerning the love of God. In verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." It's a new commandment. The word new means different from that which was formerly, coming in place of and not yet used. In the Old Testament, there were many great, strong relationships that were forged. People had deep affection for one another. As a matter of fact, David describes Jonathan's friendship with him in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 as, "Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman." Now, that really has nothing to do with sex, as some might suggest. It's in the sense of the care, the protection that Jonathan demonstrated in protecting and standing up against his father Saul on David's behalf on a number of occasions. But this is a new commandment Jesus is giving His disciples because it's a new kind of love. In the Greek, it's the word agapeo. It's basically unknown to writers outside of the New Testament. It is the love from God. We understand it and perhaps refer to it as unconditional love, but it's a lot more than that because it's a love that endures. It's unlimited in compassion and immeasurable in mercy. It'll elevate the heart and hope and inspires believing faith. It constrains us unto good works and strengthens us to stand. When all else has fallen or forgotten, agapeo, this love originating from God, will still remain. Now, I've used the word, the Greek word agapeo, which in English would be a verb or an action word, because this love is to always be active, or at least it should be, among the brethren and in life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it tells us we love Him because He first loved us. He's the initiator. It's new because We were devoid of this kind of love until He first loved us. So He's our source and He is our supply of this new love. And it's to be received and then passed on. So you never run out because it's God initiated. I've sometimes heard Christians say, "I have no love for so-and-so." Well, that would be impossible. You may have decided to your own disadvantage and your own hurt not to show love to someone, but as long as the source remains, and that's eternity, the love's there and it's available. So pass it on and enjoy it. Have you seen the popular bumper sticker encouraging us to practice random acts of kindness? Well, the Bible constrains us to practice deliberate acts of love. Why be random? You know, one here and one way back there and maybe one 2 years from now? No. We should really walk in love, not random. Pass on His love. You just might make a disciple. Romans 13, verse 8 tells us, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." People worry about car debt, credit card debt, house debt, I suppose the national debt, yet they let the love for one another, this love of God, go in arrears day after day, month after month, year after year. Now, this verse is particularly in reference to the love that we should have for the ministers and the ministries who provide our table with the bread of life. But the command really overall is to love one another. So you make payment on your debt of love. Or how about paying off someone else's debt of love by loving another, where you fill in the love that's owed? That's what the scriptures really refer to in laying down our lives for one another. Remember, Jesus told His disciple that there was no greater love than a man should lay down his life for his friends. Why not be a friend to someone and make payment on that debt of love? Because this new love is what puts us over the top. It's what makes us more than conquerors in life. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, it says, "Nay," that's horse talk for no, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded." Persuaded means you're convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My goodness, you got death, life, angels, principalities, powers, life, and death. It covers everything. So there's really no excuse not to walk in love. But it's in our full persuasion that His love is to us and for us that makes us more than conquerors in all of these things. It's our full persuasion that nothing can separate us from Him. This is the love that endures. This is the one that's unlimited in compassion and immeasurable in mercy. This is the love that never fails. Have you ever considered why the church in the first century, written about in the book of Acts, moved with such dynamics and power? Well, let's look at the word of our Lord on the day of His ascension, and these are His final instructions in Mark 16. And if they're His final instructions, we should pay special heed to it. Starting in verse 15, it says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents." That's in the context of if accidentally you picked up a serpent. "And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up in the heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Boy, oh boy. The word amen means to be durable or lasting. You see, if it were only for a short period of time, this great commissioning that we're talking about, if it was only for a short period of time and not lasting, then why did he say amen? And if those commandments are no longer in effect, why do we keep on preaching? See, there are more details now I want to look at on how they carried out their commissioning in Acts chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." This great movement of God was not in a special anointing that was only for a short period of time. Remember the word amen. It continues. It's durable. It's lasting. Certainly, God has not changed. I mean, he hasn't lost his power. And if this commissioning is to continue, then the things that are necessary in order to carry out this charge still must be available, and the Lord must still be ready to work with us with signs following. The disciples were convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, and they could not be talked out of it. They couldn't be coerced out of it. They couldn't even be threatened out of it. Look at chapter 4 of Acts, verses 13 through 21. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned," the word unlearned is illiterate, or it means not professionally trained. Remember, Peter and John were fishermen, and ignorant men, they not having letters issued by academia, you know, didn't go to the proper seminaries and those kinds of things. Again, they were fishermen. They were out sharing the word and living life. "They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" My goodness, why in the world would you want to deny something so fantastic, so tremendous? "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no one in this name." For centuries, Satan has tried to stop this name. He's tried to stop the miraculous. He's tried to stop the great move of God's word. Well, goes on, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John," you got to love them, "answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye," or you be the judge of that, "for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" They weren't singing that beautiful old hymn, "Almost Persuaded." These men were fully persuaded. When we compare the first century church to the church today under the same commissioning, we ought to see what we need and what we should do and see why it's seemingly that they walked with a greater dynamic and a greater power, so that we can tap these resources and walk with that same power and that same dynamic.
We'll be right back to our message in a moment. We invite you to visit our website to learn more about Lawrence Panarello's new book, The True Justice of a Just God. Alejandra Vernon, a top 25 reviewer for Amazon.com, calls it an inspiring work that will fill you with hope and love. Exquisitely written, it has a simplicity and graceful beauty in its style that is a rarity in this age. It is a joy to read, not only for the power of its thoughts, but also for the words chosen to express them. If you would like to order a copy, a link is provided at our website, www.myinternetchapel.org. If you're being blessed by the good news shared by Beloved of God Ministries and would like to support our global mission, we thankfully receive your tax-deductible gifts and contributions through our website or by mail at Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. If you've missed our contact information, it will be repeated at the close of our broadcast. Now for the conclusion of today's message, here's Lawrence Penarello.
What seems to be the difference between the church of the first century and the church we're a part of today? What's the difference between then and now? Well, I believe the secret, and I don't mean it as a mystery, it's just been kept secret. I believe that the truth is, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it would give us the key so that we may once again walk with that same dynamic, that same power, and see the same type of triumphs as they did in the first century church in carrying out the great commissioning he has given to us. 1 John 4, verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." They knew God loved them. What's more, they believed God loved them. And when they knew it and they believed it, they began to live like men and women who are loved by God. When you live like a man or a woman whom God loves, fear goes. Condemnation gets defeated, and you walk with a great persuasion and a power. I was putting up a new light fixture in our home. I knew we had power, but when I went to flip the wall switch, I stood there in darkness. So, you know, I grabbed my flashlight, took down the fixture, retraced the wires, and realized I had not made the proper connection to get the power to flow to the fixture. When I corrected the error, the power flowed and the room filled with light. People, especially Christians, have been sitting in the dark waiting for the power of God to illuminate their lives. The power of God is all around them, but they live in the shadows of condemnation from past sins, for which they've already been forgiven, waiting for the light of truth to be reignited. They have not made the proper connection that being fully persuaded, nothing can separate us from His love, completes the circuit. Brother F.F. Bosworth so beautifully wrote in his book, Christ the Healer, "The Bible does not declare that God is power. It tells us God is love. You see, it's not our believing faith in His power that attains His blessings, but our believing faith in His love for us that connects us to the power that heals and delivers us." It says, "And we have known and believed the love God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." We know God is all-powerful. But do we believe He's love and willing to use His power to meet our need? To say a man is wealthy lets us know he has a lot of money. But to say he's beneficent tells us what he wishes to do with his money. In Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, it tells us the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Mercies and compassions are the desire to relieve the miserable, that is, to show kindness through your beneficence. The power of God exceeds the bounds of nature. It surpasses scientific discovery and development and reaches beyond the helping hands of human kindness. It makes the impossible become possible. As Elohim, we know God is the Creator. As El Shaddai, He is the Almighty. He is Almighty God. To say God is Almighty tells us He's all-powerful. To say that He is the Creator, we know He has tremendous ability to do. But to declare God is love, His tender mercies and compassions tell us where He wishes to direct that power. It's not the enormity of our need, or even the desperation of our circumstances. God can fill any need. As Jeremiah 32, verse 27 states, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" The question is, what do we know and what do we believe when it comes to God? For we must be fully persuaded that nothing can separate us from His love and that His will toward us is always good. As Jeremiah 29, verse 11 tells us, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Do you believe His thoughts towards you are of peace and not of evil? See, we talk of unconditional love, but really, our religious thinking has added condition upon condition upon condition when it comes to God. What are your expectations from the Lord? Man spent so much time at the bottom of the well of condemnation, he thinks God thinks the way he thinks. Beloved, if we cannot count on God's thoughts toward us in our hour of need, we simply have no hope. Isaiah 55 informs us in verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His thoughts are higher, not lower. If you read the rest of the chapter, it's an encouragement to elevate our thoughts, to get our lives and our thinking up out of the well and to the level of God's ability and love. As a child, I was lying in bed near death. My temperature was hovering between 105 and 106 degrees. Just a few hours before, I was your typical 7-year-old rambunctious little boy. My mother couldn't get me to obey anything she told me, and she was pretty upset with me when I went to bed. But somehow, during the night, my tiny physical body was attacked by several diseases. I had contracted the measles, the mumps, and on top of that, the whooping cough all at the same time. And I remember being moved from the room I shared with my brother to my parents' bed, my dad carrying my limp little body, and our doctor was summoned. That was back when doctors made house calls. In the next several days, a steady stream of my aunts, uncles, cousins, neighbors came by to see me. They read to me, they stroked my forehead, and endeavored to nurse me back to health. In just a moment of time, my disobedience wasn't even considered, and this wellspring of affection gushed forth to me from every direction. You know, even as an adult, no matter what's happened before, my wife, our family, our friends pour out themselves in times of need. How did we ever come about to believe that God would abandon us in our need because we just were not good enough? Much less, as some teach and believe, that He might be the originator of our hardship. If in our hour of need, He cannot reach beyond sin and heal us, then how does He reach us with salvation when we are dead in sins? Beloved, God is love. It's not just something He does, it's what He is. It is His very nature. But you will receive what believing expects. What do you really believe about God? Or what have you allowed yourself to believe about God? What are your expectations? When we know and believe the love God hath to us, we will once again be more than conquerors like they were in the first century church. I know seemingly it's hard at times. The hardest thing to do is love, perhaps because we've been hurt or some other thing. But if we're mindful of God's great love for us and allow our hearts to remain in His hands, He will shield us and protect us. You just go ahead and love. The world's seen enough hate, dislike, sarcasm, cynicism, and criticism. We give up and we call it tough love. But His is a love that endures, one that's unlimited in compassion and immeasurable in mercy, a love that elevates the heart in hope and inspires believing faith. People need to witness once again the love that our Lord walked in, a love that exceeds the scope of nature, that surpasses scientific discovery and development and reaches beyond the helping hands of human kindness, a love that's reflected in the fearless, deliberate acts of truth. This, then, is the challenge of a new age, but it's with a new love in this world. Let the testimony of our lives be that of 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. When we know and believe the love God hath to us, we will live like men and women who are beloved of God. Then nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We truly are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Thank you for joining us today for The Truth Be Told, a listener-supported presentation of Beloved of God Ministries. To assist us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, your contribution for our global mission can be made through our website at www.myinternetchapel.org or by writing to Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. We'll talk again next week. Join us for The Truth Be Told.